It's the fifth year that Bloomington's Wonder Lab has presented its Science of Art program. But this year, the Museum of Science, Health, and Technology is changing things up a bit. Instead of dedicating a month to programming that inhabits the intersection between art and science, Wonder Lab is extending the series throughout the entire year. Each Friday of the month, the museum presents an evening of demonstrations and hands-on activities organized around a central theme. Last month's program revealed how quilters rely on mathematics, chemistry, and engineering. Earlier this month, WFIU's Yael Cassander examined the connections between art and science at the program Nature's Palette.
You might think Wonder Lab is kid stuff, but just a hypothesis here. What if a playful approach is just what is needed when it comes to tackling major issues, such as food insecurity brought on by global climate change?
It's more than just a bearded dragon in the ground.
Garden designer Jamie Scholl has high hopes for a mound of earth in the museum's Wonder Garden that she's been sculpting in the shape of a 10-foot-long bearded dragon.
So the community will be planting these plants that I've chosen. The mustards, kales vary in height and texture, so they will mimic the skin of the creature.
Not only will the kale, collards, and mustard plants approximate the look of the lizard's skin, they will double as sustenance for a real bearded dragon who lives at the museum. When she was proposing the project, that tie-in was key for Scholl.
I said, by the way, let's do something with the edible plants that's going to feed the creatures inside the science museum. So they, after a few days, got back to me with the plant list, and we ended up with this.
It may just look like the practice run for a sandcastle contest now, but the living sculpture Scholl is creating cross-pollinates several ideas often considered unrelated.
Agriculture, you know, plant your garden in the back 40. Keep it back there. Forget to weed it. It's not very pretty. But let's bring it to the front yard. Let's put it near the house. Let's make it beautiful. Let's make it functional, too. Beauty and functionality do not need to be separate.
Wonder Lab is one of several venues throughout Bloomington's Entertainment and Arts District showcasing Scholl's year-long project Garden the City 2012, Painting with Edibles. These highly visible urban garden plots are intended to do more than decorate the city. They'll provide object lessons in how to cultivate edible and medicinal plants in challenging and unexpected situations.
So people who aren't usually interested in food security, I want to create an opportunity for them because we all eat.
In addition to such challenges as growing food in places with contaminated soil, a major obstacle would-be urban gardeners face is a legal one. As a member of the Bloomington Food Policy Council, involved with the Urban Agriculture Amendment, Scholl has discovered that
going through the city's Unified Development Ordinance, our city's municipal code, there are covenants and restrictions, especially in neighborhoods.
Covenants restricting agricultural activity within certain subdivisions that are still on the books are a relic of the post-World War II era, Scholl explains, when the new American culture of material abundance was discomfited by any association with the gritty days of victory gardens.
When the men came back from World War II, you know, there's this whole shift in what was acceptable. That's when Levittown came into being. You know, we had this cookie-cutter kind of dream.
As a private consultant to clients trying to garden in the legal wake of that era, Scholl brings her art training to bear.
To me, it's just a design issue. But there are some legalities, and I can help them work around those legalities and still create something really beautiful in the front yard that's not a row crop. We don't have to plant row crops in our front yards.
In the Wonder Lab's side yard, the Wonder Garden, Scholl is helping children plant seedlings in the giant lizard made of soil.
So where should the hole be?
About right there.
Right there. Take the trowel and go straight down. Put your fingers on either side of the plant. Tip it over. And you wiggle the bottom until it comes out.
What's this going to look like, say, in a month? In 2 months, in 3 months?
It'll slowly grow. We will see on the backside around the spine. Those plants chosen to be grown there will be taller than the ones that face on the east side. So nothing's ever going to shadow the other unless we really want it to. And sometimes we do want that to happen to create some cooler conditions and create a microclimate. As those get larger and they get used, we'll see how they actually behave in this sort of thing because this has not really been done before. So, you know, science is about experimentation. This is also an experiment.
Inside the museum, another artist who incorporates the science of plants in his work is demonstrating his technique.
We'll take a bloom from one of the plants, and we will place the side of the bloom that contains the most pigment on top or towards the watercolor paper.
Timothy Carter East makes botanical collages as the basis for larger giclée prints.
We'll put the watercolor paper on a relatively rigid, hard surface, and then cover that with a paper towel and pound it with a hammer. That's the pounding that we hear. The pigment is transferred into the watercolor paper, and there's just a small filament left of the plant that rolls right off of the top of the paper.
It's part of the attraction of using flowers, that idea of making something that is so ephemeral into something lasting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we're using a little bit of technology to do that.
Elsewhere in the museum, staff members and volunteers are helping children make paper, into which lettuce seeds are incorporated. Made from blue and green pulp and shaped into discs, the resulting paper will resemble the planet Earth.
And then here's a cup of the green construction paper. We're trying to make a Earth shape today, so that will be the land and this will be the water. So you'll take that and then go to the next station.
All right. All right, well, let's get rid of
some more water.
And then let's put your green stuff. Pat it down and get rid of all that water. And then you can actually see the seeds in the globe, and they're going to sprout into lettuce.
The kids can take their little paper earths home with them and plant them in a pot or the yard to see the project come full circle. The children who've enjoyed today's make-and-take activity at Wonder Lab may not be aware of it, but they've entered into the very nexus of art, science, and philosophy. We must all tend our garden, suggested Voltaire's optimist, Candide. Or, as his 21st century counterpart would conclude...
So gardens can save the world, yes.
For WFIU, I'm Yael Cassander.
During next month's Science of Art program, visitors will make a zoetrope and learn about kinesiology with the Windfall dancers serving as visual aid. Future Friday night programs will showcase limestone carving, photography, and screen printing. You can see photos from the Nature's Palette program on our website, wfiu.org/arts.